OTC is go.
Frankfurt is go.
ETC is go.
Copy, S is go.
Houston flight is go.
Pilot go.
STM is go.
Safety cost is go.
STU is go.
LRD is go.
SRO is go.
CDR is go.
Launch director, NTD, our launch team is ready to proceed at this time.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Right Side Patriots has a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So, buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not gonna stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls, and oh yeah, thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people
on RSPRadio1.com. Welcome to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, and Diane Sorey right over there at the Patriot Factor. Good evening, everybody. It's Friday night, the 29th of January. Hello, Diane.
Hello, Craig. And I can't believe how fast this month has gone.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I mean, come on. It's been one thing after the next.
That's true.
I mean, we haven't had a whole lot of time to sit around and think of something to do.
No. And we were so hoping, you know, that the Supreme Court would step in at the end and do the right thing, and they let us down again.
Yep, they sure did. They sure did. Now, folks, we got to tell you, if you tuned in on Tuesday night expecting to hear Right Side Patriots, good for you. Thank you. We didn't.
No.
We weren't here. I threw my back out on Sunday, and Tuesday, I couldn't even stand, basically. And I certainly couldn't sit here in my office chair.
Yes. And being that I've been the recipient of that painful face in the past, I kind of said, don't even think about it. Just, you know, lay in bed, put your feet in a certain position. I'm kind of an expert on back injuries, but I've done so good, I've avoided the surgery.
Well, I have too, you know, and I've had my share of back problems. But yeah, it was, I got to tell you, folks, it was really nice. It was really, really touching of Diane to tell me, well, don't worry about it. We just, you know, we won't do a show. You just, you know, don't worry about it. I had no intention of worrying about it. I most certainly was not doing a show on Tuesday.
I've been there. But I mean, you remember a few years ago when my back went out and you heard me screaming over the phone.
Oh, my God. You know, and I don't do that. But, you know, when it went out, it was out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it wasn't, let's see, this happened on Sunday, and then it was yesterday, Thursday, when I was finally able to get my shoes on.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know,
Well, mine was due to an accident, you know, not a disease, not a whatever people throw their backs out for. It was due to a freak accident, a home accident. And I'll tell you, you know, you learn to do things differently because you never want to feel that pain again.
No, and I wish I could say that I was doing something dangerous and something, you know, extremely strenuous and you know, that there was some sort of glamour attached to it when I threw my back out on Sunday. I was picking up a piece of paper that one of the cats knocked off the table.
Well, let me tell you.
That's what I was doing.
You know, most injuries happen just moving the wrong way.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's exactly what this was. The last time I did this was probably a good 3 years ago when I it was during the summer, and I picked up a small little flat of marigolds that weighed probably half a pound.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just the way I bent over and reached out to pick up this little flat, and boom, you know, it was gone. So
that's how it happens.
You know, that's what happened to us on Tuesday. That's why we weren't here on Tuesday, but we're here now. Okay.
Right.
And we've got a bunch of stuff to talk about tonight. A little bit later in the show, Diane, you've got a revolution of truths still untold.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I've got America First. Let's get this party started.
And they're great companion pieces. Mine sort of leads into Craig's.
Yeah, and, you know, this is one of those things where, you know, we started writing. We didn't really know what the other one was doing. And, you know, I asked Diane, I think this was, well, we were going to do these two segments on Tuesday. So this was a good week ago. That we were writing this, maybe a little bit over a week ago. And I asked Diane, I said, what are you covering? And she kind of told me, and I said, okay, I just, you know, I don't want to step on anything, you know, that you're doing. And she said, well, don't read me yours, because I don't want to inadvertently, you know, and which is something that she and I often do. You know, we often don't go over much of what we're doing until we get done. Right. And this one, like so many other times over the years, this one, the two pieces just kind of nicely dovetail together.
Yeah.
You know, really kind of neat. But all of that said, and all of that yet to come, let's start with quick hitters tonight.
Okay.
We haven't done quick hitters in a while. And, you know, while there's plenty we could just yak about tonight, I thought maybe a few things, you know, if we could just kind of nail down a few things. We start in China.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that is where the China virus came from. And while, you know, there is a dictatorial decree that we never call it the China virus again, lest we face arrest. It is the China virus.
Yes, but you know what? We could circumnavigate it and not call it the China virus, call it the virus from China. we're not breaking the rule.
Well, that's true, but I like to live on the edge.
Right.
So over in China, where the China virus comes from, some of the cities over there now have a new way of testing for the China virus.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it used to be over here, they would stick a swab up your nose until it literally touched the back of your brain. Okay? Then they went to the less invasive, just inside the nostril test. Now, in this country, we have the saliva test.
Yes.
But over in China, where the China virus comes from, they have decided to go to the heart of the matter.
Literally.
And they are using anal swabs.
Yeah, they claim that more of the virus ends up in basically poop than it does through nasal swabs or throat swabs. And they do have a point there, because more
really?
Of anything will end up in children's, you know, bowel movements, just the nature of their, you know, bodies being smaller and whatever. And they're trying to apply that logic to grown-up people.
This is a respiratory disease, right?
Right.
Doesn't it make more sense to go to the intake manifold rather than the exhaust manifold?
Well, remember, when you have a serious respiratory disease, you could be swallowing a lot of phlegm and mucus. And there is some logic behind this, but the tests that they have nowadays through the saliva and the throat, I would think are just as accurate as the poop test.
Well, I would hope, and this isn't, bear in mind, this is not an actual poop test. They're using swabs.
Right, and they're rotating.
Yeah. Now, I do have a very, I think, a very important question regarding this practice. Do they have drive-up butt swab tests?
Yeah, you moon the guys, you know, you moon them, they do their little thing, and then you move on. I mean, really, folks, antidote. Now the new vaccines that are coming out, the one in England is only 65% effective because of the morphing of the virus. They needed to look for an antidote, not a vaccine, but nobody listens to me.
Well, and now Fauci wants you to wear two masks.
Fauci can stick his masks, you know where.
Well, in China, do you wear one over your face and one over your keister? When I first heard about this, folks, I thought, no, yeah. You're kidding.
No, they're not kidding. It's actually been done in some cases here in this country, too.
No, I don't want to hear this. No.
Yes.
No, yeah. This is going to be very, very popular in prison, you know.
Oh, dear, this is just ridiculous. Let it run its course. Let the herd immunity kick in. I mean, the longer they keep dilly-dallying with this, the longer it's going to be here.
Can I just say what everybody's thinking?
When can we burn our masks?
Nope. If the Chinese people didn't have their heads up their asses all the time, they wouldn't need to test for COVID-19 with an anal probe.
Oh, God.
Oh, for God's sakes. Moving over to New York, not the city, but the state of. Governor Cuomo is in a bit of hot water.
And rightly so. It seems he's been underestimating the amount of nursing home deaths since January from COVID-19, the Chinese virus. And what's worse about this, he's trying to blame it on Trump. His underestimating, his deliberately sending COVID-positive patients back to nursing homes to spread the disease is Trump's fault.
Well, and let's be perfectly clear about this. It's not so much that he was underestimating the number of deaths. It's that the state of New York, at his direction, deliberately deceived people by telling them there were a lot less deaths in nursing homes as a result of COVID-19 than there really was. In fact, there were 50% more nursing home deaths due to COVID-19 than the numbers that Cuomo and his merry little band of liberal morons wanted the public to know about.
Well, actually, that number, as of late this afternoon, has gone up to 53%.
Oof.
Yeah, this is bad.
Substantial.
Yeah, this is bad news, folks, because we are talking thousands of people who did not have to die if this moron, as you say, did not send sick people back into the nursing homes. What Cuomo basically did was he deliberately tried to cull the elderly herd. Remember, the elderly that live in nursing homes, many of them are Medicare and Medicaid assisted, and they were drain on his budget.
Big time.
Yeah.
You can't tell me this was a simple error.
No, this was no error. If it was an error and he noticed people were getting sicker, more people were getting sicker in nursing homes right in the beginning, he would have stopped it, but he didn't.
Exactly. That, you know, that's a great point. You know, yeah. if this would have been, oh my God, look what's happening. We got to, you know, do something about this. Boom, with the stroke of a pen, he could have stopped that entire practice.
Right. And, you know, Democrats are good with stroking pens, as you know. But
yes.
this was, as far as I'm concerned, this was a deliberate act of murders. He tried to cull the elderly herd, if you want to call it. He wanted to do away with people that were a drain on his budget.
Right. And like you said, now he's blaming the added numbers on a political attack from Donald Trump.
Yeah, really?
What?
Tell me how. Tell me how Donald Trump had anything to do with this moron sending knowingly sick people back into where the most vulnerable among us live. Please,
right.
tell me how Trump had anything to do with that.
You know, this goes back a good number of months. This goes back to, I think it was last summer, late last summer.
Mm-hmm.
You, Diane Story, you wrote an article about this. You wrote an article about Cuomo sending these sick people back into these nursing homes.
And I also said that I believe the numbers were greatly underinflated.
In fact, you did.
I did. But, hey, Craig, who listens to us? We're not of name.
Well, you know, I just popped open your website here, and I'm kind of trying to look back and see if I can figure out when you wrote that.
Well,
I don't know if I'll recognize it by the...
I will. Hold on, because I think I actually have his name in it.
Well, that's what I was thinking, but...
It would be... let's see.
And I'm not seeing it right off. I was hoping that it would just jump out at me.
I think it's Unmasking the Snake and His Vipers. Oh, no,
ah.
No. That might have been Obama.
Oh, I don't think so.
It could have been the political weaponization of COVID-19.
This was months ago that you wrote this. And
yes.
I know, folks, if you go back and look at this, you'll through Diane's blog at thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, you'll find it. It's hiding in there somewhere. And
it's in the op-ed section, folks, from the spring of 2020.
Ah, wait a minute. I think I found it. Yes, I did find it.
Which one?
This is stunning how long ago you wrote this piece. May 25th, 2020. A monster resides in the Empire State.
Yes, that was the one.
That is it right there.
Yes.
And, folks, I'm telling you right now, write this down. A monster resides in the Empire State. It's from May 25th. You find it in the op-ed section at Diane's blog, The Patriot Factor, which is at thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com. Go read that. With what's going on right now, with what's coming out in the news right now, what we're talking about in this particular quick hitter, you want to read this article. This is why we tell you, folks, that you need to save the articles and the op-eds and the commentaries that we write, because we know when we write this stuff, even as far back as last May,
mm-hmm.
we know that these things are going to come back around.
Yeah, we for some reason we kind of have a sixth sense, if you will. We wrote about Benghazi before It was broken. We wrote about the land grabs. We got Epstein and the hyoid bone before anybody else.
Yep.
Because we investigate each thing, not just in a broad sense, but we pull it apart and do, you know, minuscule investigations within investigations. And this is something the mainstream media doesn't do. They just report what's fed to them, basically, and they don't take it any further. It was just common sense way back then what was going to happen in New York.
You know, this is one of those times that, you know, we said, we're going to keep an eye on this. Well, here it is. What goes around comes around.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and we nailed it before they're talking about it now.
Yep. So go back and read that, folks, and you'll see, you know, we knew, Diane knew at that time what was happening and what was going to happen, what the outcome of it was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're seeing that come to fruition. Kevin Kleinsmith, probably a name not very many people are familiar with, but Kevin Kleinsmith was the FBI agent who was behind the fraudulent email that was used to gain FISA warrants to spy on Carter Page, Trump's campaign team, and President Trump himself.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Kleinsmith did all that knowing, using the Steele dossier as the weapon of choice, knowing that the Steele dossier was a 100% fraud, fake, phony document. And he faked up some emails, and they used that to get the FISA warrants.
Right. Okay,
four times, I think. Well, he pleaded guilty. Okay, a while back, he was sentenced yesterday. Diane, how many years is Kevin Kleinsmith going to do in the federal slam?
None.
Zero.
Mm-hmm.
He's
going to get 12 months probation, 400 hours of community service, and no fine whatsoever.
Now, my questions are, in his case, what would constitute community service? Censoring conservatives?
Facebook would hire him for that.
That's what I'm saying. He could be a volunteer at Facebook censoring conservatives, or at Twitter, or at YouTube, or at Google.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that would probably constitute community service in his case.
But, you know, he was earning $150,000+ a year. And, you know, he suffered enough, according to this judge who let him get off with this barely slap on the wrist. I mean, this...
How many millions of dollars was spent not only on the prosecution or attempted prosecution of President Trump regarding the Russia collusion,
right?
But how many other millions of dollars? We know of at least $40 million that was spent on investigating Russia collusion. And at the end of that investigation, after all of those FBI agents and all of those interviews and all of that folderol, $40 million. And this guy, well, you know, he was making $150,000, so he's suffered enough.
Sure he has. Well, I got a question.
Yeah.
Here it is. You know, he was part of John Durham's investigation. You notice how we were all looking forward to the Durham report?
Uh-huh.
First, it was supposed to be before the election, then right after the election. Well, we're still waiting. Do you really believe there even is a Durham report?
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
Not
it's
anymore.
It's all fraud.
Yeah, Kleinsmith. Well, you know, I mean, he's a good little liberal puppet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, gets 400 hours community service, 12 months on probation.
Oh, what a hard, hard sentence.
Yeah.
We've all been on probation being locked up with this COVID nonsense.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This is nuts. Finally, speaking of nuts, I have spent the better part of 2 days, well, three, actually, trying to watch the SpaceX Starship launch, SN9. They've got it out there on the launch pad. Yesterday they had it all fueled up. It was all ready to go. And then they scrubbed it.
Well, yeah, to be specific. Knowing, Tesla, being the little genius that he is, he actually had a little backup plan.
Well, let's take things a step at a time here. The FAA scrubbed it.
Right.
Because, safety concerns. And Elon Musk said, what are you talking about? They wouldn't tell him. And, they thought, well, they thought they had things worked out. Early this morning, the FAA gave them clearance to launch today. And then the FAA said, nope, just kidding. Elon Musk is pissed. I mean, PO'd.
Yes.
So now, not only is SN9 sitting out there on the launch pad, but so is SN10.
Right. he circumnavigated them. Okay, you told me I can't have the number 9 one. So here, I'm giving you a new improved model, number 10.
The man is
a genius.
He is. He's like, well, screw you. I'll tell you what's impressive, though, is there are now two Starships at the Boca Chica launch site on launch platforms at the same time.
I know.
That is wild looking.
And I'd like to know, what threat, what danger did 9 pose?
Yeah, I mean, 8 flew.
Right.
It didn't land so good, but it flew. And they won't tell him what the problem is. And, isn't it funny? Isn't it odd that while Trump was in the White House, there didn't seem to be any trouble getting FAA clearance to launch. But all of a sudden now? Can't get it.
You can't get it because they don't want you to have it. Remember, Biden and the Democrats are dead set against the space program. They think it's money wasted. They'd rather, send our hard-earned taxpayer dollars to help fund abortions in countries that are not our own. They'd rather, grease the palms of the gimme, gimme, you owe me's with that money.
Right.
I think within a short period of time, Biden's going to suggest getting rid of Space Force.
That thought occurred to me. But this is Elon Musk's baby. Yeah, he's working with NASA. But
Starship. Well, Biden ain't any friend of NASA either.
No, but Starship is 90% Elon Musk's money.
Right.
But
it's money going to space instead of going to the Democrat Party.
So and let's not forget something very important. Before the election, Elon Musk was tweeting things that were pretty complimentary of Donald Trump.
True. This could be a little bit of payback. How dare you?
Yep. I'm just saying. I don't know that's the case. I'm speculating.
Okay.
But it makes you wonder.
It does. It actually does make you wonder.
Now, here's the thing. He's got two of these things sitting on the launch pad right now. If he gets clearance, will he fire them both off in the same day?
I really don't think so.
I wouldn't put it past him.
I wouldn't put it past him, but I think for the logistics of mission control and all that, I think he would do one at a time.
Well, I'm not meaning shoot them off at the same time. I mean shoot one off at, let's say, 9 o'clock in the morning and the next one off at noon.
Well, that's a possibility, but
you know,
I think the way they have to be monitored when they first go up, whether it's NASA or Musk, is the focus of all the computers and cameras and everything have to be on that object. I don't think they could really do it two in one day. I mean, I could be wrong.
Well, let's bear in mind these are test flights that only last about 8 minutes.
True.
I'm just saying, you know, Elon Musk, don't put it past him.
No.
I'd be cool as hell.
Don't ever put anything past him.
No, it'd be cool as hell if he did it, though. It really would.
It would be. It would be.
All right. Folks, we've made it to the bottom of the hour here. We've got a couple of great segments coming up for you. About 30 minutes from now, I'll be talking about America First. Let's get this party started. But when we come back from this, our bottom of the hour break and station ID, Diane's got it with a revolution of truths still untold. So folks, stay with us. There's more Right Side Patriots after this.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sorey. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Hi guys, Diane Sorey from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out the National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on rspradio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor, Friday night edition of the show, the 29th of January. First month of the year is almost over. You know what that means to Diane? There's only about 10 months of Christmas shopping time left.
Oh, yeah.
Sad, right? But true. All right, Diane, so you have put together an op-ed, A Revolution of Truths Still Untold.
Yes, in other words, folks, you haven't heard all of what was going on with this election, if you will. Okay, and let's start by saying, quote, the movement we started is only just beginning. Now, those were some of President Donald Trump's words at his farewell address at Andrews Air Force Base. And so it took but a few short hours for Joe Biden to behave as expected, what with talk of unity being but a campaign promise made, not kept. After all, nothing says unity quite like picking up a pen and executive ordering away most of all the good policy set into place by the previous president, a president who had quite literally just left office. And said action is especially grievous when the policies removed not only benefited we the people, but were policies removed simply because they initiated on the other side of the political aisle. And so out of the need for revenge, or simply as a means of payback aimed at the 72 million of us who understood all along that Obama's fundamental change of America would come to fruition in a relatively short period of time via a President Kamala Harris, for Joe Biden is and always was, but a placeholder, if even that. And when the hierarchy of any given political mob rules the roost, think both Democrat and Republican hierarchy here, and is allowed to get away with any and everything, both questionable and illegal, our constitutional republic is dead, or at least is on life support. Long live misplaced democracy, the very thing our founders and framers feared most. Smart men our founders and framers were, for they knew well that the promoting of democracy actually comes at the expense of we the people's personal liberty, and that the greatest threat to said liberty is the government itself, whether it be well-intentioned or not. And here's where the very twisting of the meaning of democracy comes into play. For America was never meant in its governance to be guided by popular opinion, by popular vote, or by the sheer collective will of the majority. Translation, the abject tyranny of majority rule can be simplified into two words, mob rule. But while today's Democrats want you to believe that ultimate power lies solely within the acceptance of their party's highly politicized version of mob rule, they do forget that this was the very concept for which we the people not only took up arms against 2.5 centuries ago, but that 74 million of us also did so at the ballot box but a few short months ago, minus the arms, of course. But two questions remain. First, for how long can and will we be silenced by those who are the actual ones trying to overthrow what is our constitutional republic? And second, why even pose such a question? The answer, Craig, to both questions is really quite simple. Because we who understand the underlying meaning and truths behind the American Revolution actually never counted on this or any election actually being successfully stolen, especially an election the other side heralds as not only being democracy in action, but the most secure and fair election ever held, which we all know, which even Joe Biden and Kamala Harris know, is truly but a lie.
Well, so I guess that kind of brings up another obvious question, and that is, given the current situation, how close do you think we are to, well, let's call it what it is, a second revolution?
Yeah, well, the way I see it, an armed revolution is not something that we true patriots or anyone else really wants. And know that we, the people who truly love our country and who embrace her constitution, can only be pushed so far. But not to be forgotten is that our republic was indeed born of revolution, a means by which to escape from what was then colonial government mired in the tyrannical rule of a British king. And while the actual time frame regarding any sort of revolution thankfully still remains open-ended, know that contrary to the media's lies about insurrection and their trying to push the dialogue of an imminent overthrow of the now newly sworn-in president, there did remain the all-important peaceful transfer of power, something essential to our constitutional republic's very survival, something which in the end also helped to temper down a bit the media's ever-continuing musings of a revolution of sorts already having started to take place, courtesy of President Trump's claim to be insightful words, words he most assuredly never said. But here also know that while the Constitution itself does not actually mandate a peaceful transition of presidential power, or that said transfer has to be friendly in nature, our founders and framers put into the Constitution, obviously fearing both the influence of foreign powers as well as internal political strife, that we are to hold free and fair presidential elections, and that the winner of said election via the Electoral College vote does become the president. And as per amended election laws that allows for the counting and resolving of any and all legal challenges to said vote before the actual transfer of power takes place, which, folks, to the Democrats' chagrin, President Trump had every legal and moral right to do, know that the bottom line in this rightfully contested election boils down to the fact that we, as a nation, must be more protective of our election process. We must go back and look to the Constitution, not just for guidance, but to make sure the disbelievers truly understand that this country is not now, nor will it ever be, a democracy, pure or otherwise, and that until that is understood and accepted as fact, we stand on the abyss of revolution, whether it be peaceful or otherwise. And while we know that no government is perfect, not even our own, a government designed for and by the people must first and foremost assure the integrity of the election process. And this most assuredly means that each and every election held is both fair and above all honest, so that the rule of law can prevail. Because without such elections, our vote is really not our own. It is a vote manipulated into helping choose whomever the then leader of the political mob wants elected. And when one party specifically singles out the votes of some as being more protected and powerful than the votes of all others, the end game becomes that said chosen minority of voters actually controls the reign of power, thus rendering our Constitution as being but an adjunct to history, an adjunct that can in time be replaced by abject mob rule, where, Craig, the wishes of a few actually becomes the law over many, something we have already seen starting to happen.
So, given that, which is perfectly true, by the way, but given that, is the idea or the thought or the conception of a second revolution simply a nonsense pipe dream, a non-starter? I mean, is it something that is simply completely forever off the table?
No. What really has to be understood is that a second American revolution must never be ruled out, especially when those in power continue to try to breach and nullify both the very foundational cornerstone and the vision laid out for our republic by our founders and framers as set down in the Constitution. But also, do remember that history has shown more times than not that revolution, whether it be a success or a failure, is very rarely something that happens without forewarning. And this is most decidedly true when the majority of we who call ourselves patriots rightfully believe that the election system currently in place is knowingly corrupted and has been for over the past decade or so. And this in turn means that our system of governance itself is no longer working for we the people, but is actually working against us via a no longer free, fair, an impartial election process. And when the judicial powers that be, as in both the lower courts and most especially the Supreme Court, will not give credence to or let alone hear our grievances, what is there to do but see an increase in nationwide protests taking place, protests originating from both sides of the political aisle, with random far left and far right fringe groups thrown in for good or bad measure. And when said protests turn ever violent in nature, as we know many times they have, the violence committed for the most part is overwhelmingly perpetrated by those whose political allegiances lie with the Democrat socialist side of the aisle. And we also know that these violent folks do overwhelmingly go unpunished thus once again sadly proving that in today's America, when injustice is exposed for all to see, it tends to morph and become but a leftist, politically driven, single-edged, very sharp sword. And with violent protests orchestrated and led by so-called political alternatives, the likes of BLM and Antifa, groups that for the most part do not operate within the parameters of acceptable civilized society, while they fuel the fires of hate via injustices only they perceive as happening, they're even more dangerous than that which appears on the surface, for they are not only heralded but are egged on in their endeavors by the Democrat hierarchy, a hierarchy that now includes Vice President Kamala Harris as well as House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. And this reality, in turn, has directly led to organized resistance movements being formed, resistant movements who know well who the true winner of this just past presidential election was, and whose calling card will always be the Constitution as written. Resistance movements whose banner taken into battle will be the Second Amendment, if it ever were to come to that. So while I say, if it ever were to come to that, know that even peaceful resistors, like I said before, will only allow themselves, their cause, and their movement to be pushed or boxed into a corner up to a point, before they will fight back against what is now an outwardly socialist-driven administration with an overtly socialist agenda. An administration not willing to listen to even the most innocuous of opposing viewpoints. An administration whose goal is hell-bent on destroying our constitutional republic. And again, if the time comes, which hopefully still can be a time avoided, know that the collective voices of all who resist, of all who strive to preserve our freedoms and our God-granted liberties, will indeed set off a political explosion whose proverbial shot will once again be the shot heard round the world.
You know, if you're a history nut like I am, you can look back at America's founding and you can realize it's very clear that the patriots who fought in that revolution before the revolution were peaceful people. These were people that were just trying to get along on a day-to-day basis, trying to make a living, trying to feed their families, trying to raise up their kids. You know, they were doing what people of the times did. And they got pushed, and then pushed a little more, and then pushed more and more and more and more by the tyranny of the British crown.
Right.
To the point where they had had enough.
Yes.
You know, and that's what you're talking about here, right? I mean, that is the scenario that would cause a second revolution.
Right. You know, we're being pushed daily. And know that we're going to be pushed more because next week Biden's unloading a whole new bunch of EOs. And you can only push us so far. You can only threaten to take away our liberties for so long. And what the Democrats forget, you can pass any gun control law you want, but the old adage, behind every blade of grass, holds very true in today's day and age.
Yeah, unless the Biden regime is intent on marching into people's private homes at gunpoint and removing people's guns from their homes, most people are not going to give those up willingly.
No. No. You know, over our dead bodies, they're going to take away what is constitutionally given to us.
Well, but the reason they want them so bad is because they know what we know, and that is the Second Amendment protects all the others.
Right. you get rid of the Second Amendment, guys, you have really no constitution left, because there's nothing we can use against a tyrannical government.
They know it, and we know it.
And we know that they know we know it.
Yeah,
so we kind of have the upper hand if we don't pull, you know, cowardly maneuvers and don't do the right thing.
Now, you mentioned the, you know, the next round of executive orders that will flow from O'Biden's pen.
Mm-hmm. And O'Biden, I like that.
Well, yeah, let's
be
honest here.
To be replaced by O'Harris, yes.
Yep. If you look at all the EOs that he signed in the last 9 or 10 days, can you point to any of them that are beneficial to the American people?
No. What all of them are is undoing everything that Trump put into place, ranging the gamut from the Keystone Pipeline, which is basically a crime because he has put, to start with, 10,000 people out of work, and now they're saying with the adjunct industries involved, it could be up to 1 million people. But hey, we're sending our monies for abortions overseas. There is not one good thing. He's having us rejoin the Paris Climate Accord, which you've already done. The WHO, you know, recognizing the WHO again.
Right.
It just gets worse and worse. We can't call it the China virus. So, of course, I will honor the, you know, unduly sworn in president, and I will call it the virus from China.
I will not honor that. I will still call it the China virus. I don't give a crap.
Well, you know, here's a little side note about it. Do you notice that President Trump always called it the China virus, the virus from China? He never called it the Chinese virus.
Right.
And what most people don't realize, there was a reason for that. Because he was putting the blame not on the Chinese people, but on the Chinese communist government for knowingly letting this be unleashed. Hence, China virus,
right,
not Chinese virus, because that would implicate the people. And he was a smart man. He knew this had nothing to do with the people, but everything to do with the communist Chinese government.
Right. I mean, just because the virus comes from China doesn't mean I'm going to quit eating Chinese food, because I love Chinese food.
Especially since most of it's American.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you get right down to it. But yeah, I mean, this the situation we find ourselves in right now is so freaking bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you got this demented, decrepit, creepy old man sitting there in the Oval Office signing one executive order after the next. I don't know that he even knows what he's signing.
I don't believe he does.
You know?
They're just shoving it at him one after another.
Yeah. And there's nothing. Congress is doing nothing. Nothing is coming from Congress. They're at a virtual standstill. Biden himself, back in October last year, said, when you rule by executive order, you're a dictator. Well, the hell does he think he's doing? You know, I mean, it's just this. And then you've got, you know, these idiots. That's really an insult to idiots, okay? But I'm talking about people like AOC. She's now claiming that Ted Cruz just about had her murdered.
Oh, yeah. Like, Ted Cruz really gives a horse's patootie about AOC.
I mean, this stuff is nuts. The Green, Congresswoman Green, the one who filed impeachment against Biden.
Gotta love her.
gotta love her, right? Well, the liberal Marxist congresswoman that was in the office next door asked to have her office separated from Green's office for safety concerns.
Oh, dear God. These people.
I mean, this is insanity. This is insanity. Yep.
It really is abject insanity. It really is.
You know, and so you look at this and you look at a op-ed like what you've put together here, A Revolution of Truth Still Untold, and you look at this and you go, a lot more truth in this than anything we're seeing coming out of Washington right now.
Well, of course.
You know, of course that wouldn't take much.
No.
My dog broke wind yesterday, and there was more truth in that than you see coming out of Washington right now. But just like the article of Diane's we mentioned earlier in the show, the one about Cuomo, a monster in the Empire State, you're going to want to hang on to this one too. Okay, bookmark this one too, because I got a feeling, again, what goes around comes around.
Yeah, that's just something that happens, you know, randomly, but often. You know, payback is a bitch, karma, any moniker you want to attest to it. But history has a point of repeating itself.
Well, and you know, it's been 200 years since 240, some for almost 245 now, since the Tree of Liberty was watered with the blood of tyrants.
Yeah, well, like I say, you know, we can be pushed so far before the next shot heard around the world is going to be heard.
Yeah, it's a matter of time.
It is a matter of time.
It's a matter of time. A Revolution of Truth Still Untold. A couple great places you can find it. You can go to Diane's blog, thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com. It's going to be right there in the op-ed section. Or you can go to rspradio1.com. That's the number one, of course, rspradio1.com. It's going to be right there on the homepage. Click into it from either location and share it. Get it out there. Let other people see the truth of the matter. And like I said, bookmark it. Bookmark it. You're going to want to be able to refer back to this and go, you know what? Diane said this was going to happen, and here we go.
Yeah, you're sure not going to hear this stuff from the mainstream media.
Oh, hell no.
No.
They don't have the cojones.
No, they don't.
Put the truth out there. They really don't.
I don't even think they know what the word truth means.
I don't think they know what cojones are.
True.
Just wild shot in the dark. A Revolution of Truth Still Untold. Get it, grab it, save it, and share it. That is the best advice that we can give you. We're going to take our top of the hour break here, get a little station ID in. We've still got one segment to go, folks. You don't want to miss it. Coming up here in just a couple of minutes, America First. Let's get this party started. And to be fair, this is the follow-up to the article I did a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so if you read that one or you heard us talking about that one on the show, great. This is the follow-up to it. If you haven't, what you want to do is go to thenationalpatriot.com, and you want to scroll down past the top article, read that number two article first, and then read this one.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way to do it. America First, let's get this party started. That will be coming your way in just a couple of minutes, because we've got more Right Side Patriots after this.
OTC is go.
Frankie Booth is go.
PTC is go.
Copy
us
is go.
Houston flight is go.
Pilot go.
STM is go.
Safety comms is go.
SDU is go.
SRO is go.
CDI is go.
Launch director NTD, our launch team is ready to proceed at this time.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Right Side Patriots has a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not gonna stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls, and oh yeah, thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people
on RSPRadio1.com. Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor, Friday night edition of the show, 29th of January. And Diane, you know what the 29th of January means, don't you? It means we're just a little over two and a half weeks away.
From what?
From a Mars landing.
Oh, right.
Oh, That's very important. Now, I know for a fact, you and I are going to be glued to that baby.
Oh, yes, we are.
And we know there is going to be an attempted landing on Mars because the FAA has no say in the matter.
True. They do not control
Martian air.
You know, and this particular landing is critical because it's sort of like a foreplay for when we actually go to Mars.
Right. And this is the Perseverance rover that we're talking about. However, during the first 15 minutes, the actual descent, it's more perspiration than perseverance.
Oh, boy, is it.
Because, man, there's going to be a lot of people in Mission Control sweating it out, and so will Diane and I be sweating that out.
And there will be in my house, period, with this.
You know, but it's going to be exciting. I'm getting so geeked up for this.
Mm-hmm.
I really am. Two and a half weeks.
Absolutely.
February 18th, I think, isn't it? I think.
I 17th or 18th, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll talk more about that probably next week and, you know, leading up to it. But that's going to be a monumental thing for us. So space nerds as we are.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's get into this final segment of the show tonight. America First, let's get this party started. In my last commentary, I described how we, our nation, now exists in a state of social war. I said in that commentary that things were about to get a whole lot worse. I wrote that commentary on January 11th, 2021, and published it on the 13th. I was right. Things have gotten worse. A whole lot worse since then, and I tell you now that we have seen but the tip of the iceberg. Last week, when Biden was sworn in, he gave a speech, and in that speech, he outlined his regime's plan for dealing with us. Us refers to conservatives. Here is what the Biden regime has in store for us. In that last commentary, I presented my definition of what I called a social war, and last week Biden gave us his regime's definition of it when he said, and I quote, "And now a rise in political extremism, white supremacy, domestic terrorism that we must confront and will defeat," unquote. It should come as no surprise to anyone that the Biden regime will fall back on the Obama regime's race card retort. It is who and what the liberal Marxists are, and it is what Obama is, which is important because if you haven't already guessed it, Biden is not running his own regime. Obama is running it for him. Political extremism in the new Obama regime means conservatism. It means those who won't be willingly led into socialism with their mouths shut and their eyes closed. Domestic terrorism to the new Obama regime are those who dare to exercise their rights as spelled out in our founding documents. And white supremacy? Well, that's if you happen to fall into either or both of the two previous categories. You are to be confronted you are to be defeated in what is now a full-on social war, and labeling you as a white supremacist is the Biden regime's weapon of choice. Remember, when Biden called Antifa an idea, while that group was engaged in direct acts of domestic terrorism through arson, looting, destruction, assaults, and even murder all summer last year, to Biden, the ilk of Antifa and the BLM were ethereal. But you and your conservative mindset are real flesh and blood. You are not an idea. You're the enemy combatants who must be confronted and defeated. Diane, does that sound like an incitement to violence to you?
It sounds more of an incitement to violence than when President Trump said, we patriots will peacefully walk to the Capitol to honor our great congressmen and women.
Ladies and gentlemen, my partner is an insurgent.
And proud of it.
Yeah, me too. Look, let's take reparations for slavery as an example here, because we all know that's coming. If there were any former slaves alive right now, any moral person would instantly agree to reparations. But slavery in this country ended better than 150 years ago. Today, black people make up roughly 12% of our population. And while many of them descended from former slaves, not all did. And yet the plan is to purchase the voting promise of all black Americans through reparations for slavery. If you oppose such a notion, you are a white supremacist and will be so labeled by the new Obama regime. Last summer, the U.S. Army put out a guide on white supremacy, and in it, they listed two forms of it. Overt white supremacy was defined as swastikas, hate crimes, the N-word, burning crosses, and racial jokes. Even though a certain part of that would make every black rapper and nearly every black comedian a white supremacist, I believe that the overwhelming vast majority of Americans would agree with those definitions. The other form of it, however, covert white supremacy, was defined as Make America Great Again, Eurocentric curriculum, English-only initiatives, bootstrap theory, all lives matter, and such sayings as, don't blame me, I never owned a slave. Clearly, if you are a conservative, you are a covert white supremacist under the new Obama regime. You are to be confronted, and you are to be defeated as an enemy consultant in a social war that is now being waged by liberal Marxists. Never mind that the new Obama regime has already started to both coddle and cuddle ideologies that continue the practices of human trafficking and, yes, outright slavery. That's different, according to them. But if you so much as think, I've never owned a slave, you must be defeated on the battlefield. Diane, in my last commentary, I also said that I would provide something of a blueprint for what we must do to take our country back.
Yes. And you know, folks, if you really think about it, that blueprint is quite simple. And I think the architect of that blueprint will be a former president.
You know, you could very well be right. Here's the way I see it. First off, I no longer believe that the Republican Party is relevant. President Trump did his best to bring the Republican elite around to an American first posture, a reformation of sorts. But at the end of the day, and at the end of his term, they stabbed him and us in the back. From ending slavery through the Reagan administration, the Republican Party served this nation well. But with the onset of party socialism ushered in by the Clintons, up to and including this new Obama regime masquerading as a dementia-ridden fool wearing a mask, the Republican Party establishment has refused to adapt to adequately counter or blow past what used to be Democrats and are now Marxists. While I have never been in favor of a third party before, I am now. But we must be cohesive in how we go about it. There are any number of third parties already in existence, and none of them have enough clout to even dream of becoming a contender because none of them have true leadership in their ranks. If a legitimate third party springs up, perhaps under the leadership of Donald Trump, a true America First political party that builds a bigger tent and throws open the flaps to any and all who will steadfastly stand for the Constitution and for policies that put all Americans first, I'm in. And I'm willing to bet that at least half of all registered Republicans will take that leap of faith with me. Time is not our friend in this, and we must act fast with purpose and create an infrastructure that will support it. That includes both media and social media. Again, as the ilk of Facebook, Twitter, and Google already are at war with conservatives, there are any number of other platforms which, like the too many third parties, lack enough clout or reach to become true players. We need a hub of truth from which we can connect, share ideas openly, and without fascist censorship, and hear and see news filtered not through the lens of propaganda, but rather through the lens of reality. We also have scant time to research and identify candidates ahead of the 2022 midterm elections. We need true conservative America First candidates who will neither waver nor shrink from confrontation, as theirs will not be the path of least resistance, but the path of greatest resistance. The past few weeks have provided us with a good understanding of those we need to primary out of office. We all know who they are on a national level, and folks, you know who they are at your local and state levels. Such a party, if it takes hold, will draw labels from the left and ire from the establishment right, because both those entities know that their only hope would be if we fail to hold our ground, fail to stay united, and fail to remain committed to the America First principle. Diane, from an economic standpoint, if it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander. If big box entities are snubbing outspoken America First conservatives, shop local and support your mom and pop stores. Do not feed the beast that is trying to eat you alive. Identify products that are made in America and buy those rather than supporting countries that seek to ruin ours.
Well, there are other entities within this that should also be dealt with. And basically, you know, we do have to finish with what COVID started. But the other entities, not only are they an issue, but they never keep their mouths shut.
I assume you're talking about sports and entertainment stars.
I sure am.
Well, look here. Where they're concerned, their ratings have slid into the abyss. Push them over the abyss. They have become propagandists for the Marxists, and they are barely treading water. Let them drown. Mm-hmm. Force your local school systems back to the right through school board elections and your personal involvement in every aspect of their existence. End the indoctrination of our nation's students at every level. Expose them for what they have become by any means necessary and seek ways to cut off their supply of your money. Be transparent. No more unnamed sources, no more conspiracy theories, no more silly games. Be bold, be brash. Force them to see you, hear you, and feel your social and economic impact. Do not just resist the fascism, defy it. Game the system to break the system. That means take advantage of everything you can that the Marxists are offering in order to hasten the fall of socialism. Embrace the words of Margaret Thatcher. when she said, quote, "The problem with socialism is that eventually you run out of other people's money." That, however, was not the only thing Thatcher got right about the agenda of the Obama regime. She also said, and I quote again, "There is no such thing as safe socialism. If it's safe, it's not socialism. And if it's socialism, it's not safe. The signposts of socialism point downhill to less freedom, less prosperity, downhill to more muddle, more failure. If we follow them to their destination, they will lead this nation into bankruptcy," unquote. Be prepared, and don't be surprised, if the new Obama regime turns this from a social to a civil war, and the red flag for that will be when they come for your guns. They mean to leave you no way to fight their tyranny, and while I hope it never gets to that point, I rather suspect it will.
Mm-hmm.
They want to take from us our money, our freedoms, our faith, our individuality, our votes, our rights, and our sense of self-reliance. They want to take from us our exceptionalism, our national pride, our judicial system, our national history, our opportunities, our opinions, and our ability to converse freely. Most importantly, they want to take from we the people our sovereignty. But remember this, they can't take anything from us that we don't allow them to take. And finally, enough of the pissing and moaning and bitching about being victims of the fraud, the lies, and the propaganda of the Marxists. Their very existence is dependent on victims, be they real or imagined. They want you to be victims. They need you to be victims. Do not give them that satisfaction, and instead exploit the opportunity they have provided to us. We must rise as lions rather than react as sheep. We must roar loudly in the light of truth rather than whisper softly in the shadows of cowardice. While they force division, we must unite. As they put America last, we must put America first. As we have seen for the past 9 or 10 months, the Marxists' first option is always violence. That should always be our last option, but it should never, never be taken off the table. We can bloody them, either figuratively or literally. It is their choice.
It's their choice, but you know what? They're still going to push us.
Absolutely,
they're going to push us into making their choice our choice.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Now, folks, you see why we said these two segments of the show dovetail together.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, Diane has written a brilliant op-ed about the Second Revolution. I'm telling you what we need to do if we want to avoid it, to get this country back, but never think we will never go that route. Because like Diane says, they can only push us so far.
Right. And we're getting to that point, guys. We are so close to the abyss. And it's sad. We never thought it would come to this because no one ever expected Trump to lose.
Yeah, I mean, I think, and Diane, I think you'll probably agree, I think this country is closer to that Second Revolution now than it has ever been in our history.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, this is, you know, Joe Biden used the words malarkey. You know, you're full of malarkey, you're full of this, you know, whatever. But you know something? We are full of hearing what we're full of when we're not the ones full of it, but the other side is.
Isn't that the truth? The commentary I wrote before this is called In a State of Social War.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and folks, if you haven't read that, you need to read that and then go back and reread the one we just talked about, you know, America First, Let's Get This Party Started. You can find both of these in two places. You can either go to my blog, thenationalpatriot.com, and get them right there, or you can go to rspradio1.com and get them there. Just the same way you do it with Diane's, okay? You're going to want to hold on to all of these op-eds and commentaries. You know, I wrote the Social War commentary really before that all got rolling. I wrote it back on January 11th, you know, posted it up on the 13th.
Well, we still had, we had already passed the abyss of hope, right?
We had at that point, but we hadn't seen the full force of Twitter and Google and YouTube and Instagram and Facebook and, you know, all of that. We hadn't yet seen all the stuff we're seeing now from
True.
These elected Marxists who are, you know, calling Senator Ted Cruz, a potential murderer.
Oh, yeah, and that is...
They want to
totally
expel him.
Unconscionable.
They want to expel him from the Senate. Not for right. anything he really said, but for what the crap they're making up. You know, I mean, this is, you know, I wrote In a State of Social War before any of that happened, but I said it was gonna.
Right.
You know, and there it is. So, you know, grab Diane's op-ed. A Revolution of Truth Still Untold. Grab this latest op-ed from commentary from me, America First, Let's Get This Party Started. These are the things we're telling you. They're going to come back around in the goes around comes around scenario, just like a monster in the Empire State.
Yeah. It's kind of funny, but we kind of can see what the future's going to bring. And we're not saying by any
we're not using a Ouija board. We're not Nostradamus.
No, right.
There's no paranormal stuff going on here.
Paranormal, thank you. We're not using paranormal means. We're just putting the pieces of the puzzle together because we can see the big picture that's coming.
You know, we have done this from the very beginning. I did it from the very beginning of the National Patriot. Diane was doing it from the very beginning of the Patriot Factor. And when we started doing Right Side Patriots on the radio, that was the one thing that we both agreed we had to continue with, was standing back far enough to see the big picture and then being able to relate what that big picture was. And you don't have to be a soothsayer. You know, you don't have to read the tea leaves. All you really have to do right now is read the writing on the wall.
Right. People tend to look at things in isolated pieces instead of putting them together, stepping back and see the big picture. And that's basically what we do. We can put the pieces together and look at them objectively. That's the key. Without preconceived notions, but objectively, usually what our guts are telling us, our gut instincts, more times than not, turn out to be correct.
Well, and I don't want to give away all the secrets here, but I am gonna tell you folks. History comes back around. If
yes,
you
it
know
does.
History, if you know history, you can see what's coming.
Yeah. Remember, if you don't learn from history, you're destined to repeat history.
Bingo.
Yeah.
That's it right there. Grab Diane's op-eds. Grab these commentaries from me. Share them everywhere you can. Bookmark them because trust me, you're going to want to go back and because you're going to listen to this program. You might be listening live tonight. You might be listening to a podcast from Podbean, and those are easy to find too, by the way, folks. And this show will be up on Podbean tomorrow. All you got to do is go to rspradio1.com. Mm-hmm. It's right there in the podcast section. I don't care how you listen to it, okay, or how you find what we write. You're going to want to save these because these things are going to be important down the road. You're going to say, I heard those two. What's their names? We don't expect you to remember everything, folks. But, you know, I heard Diane and Craig talking about this. And here it is. Here it is. If you were listening on May 25th of last year, you heard Diane tell you what exactly was going on with that nursing home crap in New York. Now it's all over the news.
In something like that, I really hoped I would be proven wrong, but I knew I was going to be proven right.
Yeah. It's all over the news today.
Yeah.
Diane covered today's breaking news last May 25th. Let that sink in.
True.
I mean, that's pretty stunning when you think about it.
True.
Well, folks, look, I hope you enjoyed the show tonight. We're going to wrap this thing up just a couple of minutes early, Diane, because I'll tell you what, my back is starting to kill me.
Oh, yeah. No, I can understand that. You know, guys, unless you've had a back injury, when you're recovering and it's a slow recovery, you can only sit for a certain period of time before, if you don't get up out of that chair, you might as well just be there for the entire night because you're not moving.
Getting up out of this chair is going to be entertainment in and of itself tonight. I can tell you.
It's going to be a Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Oh, it is. It is. But, folks, we want to thank you for being a part of the show tonight, just as you are every time we come on the air. And we hope you'll rejoin us again next Tuesday.
Yes.
With that, Diane, let's wrap this one up and say goodnight.
Good night, folks. Have a good weekend.
Have a great weekend. We'll see you Tuesday. Good night, everybody.